Well, I am dressed different tonight or today than what I normally do when I preach. But I did this in honor of Lynn. Lynn always talked to us, if he didn't see you in a tie and you were in the pulpit, he was always saying, him and Harry Bassnight had a favorite phrase, and that phrase was, you've got to uphold the dignity of the ministry by wearing a coat and tie in the pulpit. That was their saying, and, you know, so Lynn always expected you to have a tie on if you were in the pulpit. And so I did this to honor Lynn today. Amen. If you would stand with me, please. We're going to read from James 2, verses 14 through 20. And before we do that, we're going to pray, okay? Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for a beautiful day. And Lord, we just come to your presence this morning, Lord, worshiping you, Lord, thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, for all that you've done, all that you've done for us, all that you continue to do for us. Father, we pray for those who could not be here this morning for whatever reason. Lord, those who are sick, we pray for them, we lift them up to you. And Lord, ask for a touch, a special touch. And so, Lord, we just want to commit this time here to you. Speak to us, Father, through your word. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20. And it says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? You may be seated. I want to share with you a message today called Faith That Is Alive is a Demonstration of Live Action. And I brought with me today, you know, I'm a kind of simple kind of guy. And so for me to really understand things, I need to simplify it. All right. And so what I brought the flashlight, because a flashlight, it serves a great purpose, especially in the area that we live in, because we are subject to thunderstorms, hurricanes, tornadoes, and so we often lose power. And so having a flashlight, a good flashlight, will give us power to see things, see what's going on. But this flashlight, as good as it is useless without batteries. The batteries, it has two D-cell batteries inside here. Now that is the power source, but in order to get the power source connected, you've got to push the button. And the button allows that current, the power source, to go to the light bulb so that the light will shine so we can see. Amen? So what I want to show to you today is what it means. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is the what? Substance. This is the substance of things hope for, and the evidence is the light. Amen. The evidence of things yet not seen. So, what we want to do today is I want to discuss with you, I want to point out what faith is and how it works, okay? And then how we demonstrate that faith. Amen? Now, James, who is the pastor of the church in Jerusalem, okay, and he's writing to the believers who've been scattered because of persecution. Last month, we talked about chapter 1 in James, where it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of any kind. Various kinds, it says. Okay, pure joy. Why? Because your faith is being tested. And that faith, he goes on to talking about that faith and how that faith produces endurance. Amen? And so when we face trials, we need to ask God for wisdom to get us through those trials. Now, I want a little bit of information. James, the pastor, he has a heart for his flock. Okay? He wants them to know. Because, see, there were lots of things happening. There were rich believers and there were poor believers. So anytime that in the book of James, as we've been studying in Wednesday nights, that James addresses brothers and sisters, and he calls them brothers and sisters, meaning he's got a relationship with them. He is their shepherd. Okay? But he's about to introduce to them something that needs to change in their lives. And here he says, brothers and sisters, what good is it if your faith doesn't have works? Okay? And so, James is here, is he's writing to the believers that have been scattered to be due to persecution. In chapter 1, he addresses the troubles. We talked about that. Now James, in chapter 2, addresses them as brothers and sisters to mean he is shedding light on how to live faith in a real world. Something has to change. Something has to change. In other words, some of them were used, their faith was kind of like this flashlight. It wasn't on. Their faith was dead. Okay? And he's addressing this. Now, number one, genuine faith affects our behavior. Genuine faith affects our behavior. Why? Because we realize that our faith, now something, because of our faith in God, our faith in Jesus Christ, something has to change in us. Okay, otherwise, you know, I'm going to use myself as an example. I remember before I got saved, I was in a church gymnasium playing basketball, and you know, with a bunch of other guys, and running up and down the court, and I had shot a basket and I missed the basket, and I blurted out this cuss word. And so my cousin came up to me and he says, Ken, you got to realize, he didn't say Ken, he said Kenny, because in Alabama they call me Kenny. And he said, you got to realize where you are. You're at church. You can't talk like that. You see, no matter how bad I tried, I could not quit that on my own. Why? Because that was the way I was raised. But the night that I got saved, the night that by faith I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, guess what? My language changed. My attitude toward life changed. And so that's the faith that James is talking about here. Superficial faith does not save anyone. A verbal faith that consists of words without actions is insufficient. It cannot save, serve, or survive. But anyone profits from when the love of God abides in the believer. 1 John 5 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." You know, our world, the culture that we live in, doesn't understand the word love. You see, because of love, we can put our faith in action. Because we realize where we are and who we are and in what God has brought us to. Amen? Dead faith will produce dead works. Live faith is a changing agent. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not by works, so that no one can boast." We are saved because of grace. What is grace? Grace is kind of like this. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. In other words, we are made right with God. We have been justified, made right with God because of grace, because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. And if that doesn't cause you to want to do something to please God, something is wrong. You need to question your faith. Amen? Number two. You have to connect faith and action. If I don't push the button on the flashlight, the current doesn't flow through the batteries to connect to the light, to illuminate the light. So if I don't put my faith in action, what does that mean? That means I'm just a dead light. I'm not good for anything. Amen? Faith unaccompanied by actions. Whoops. Let me get back. Pushed the wrong button. Faith unaccompanied by actions was never alive. A worthless faith is a worthless faith, Martin Luther said. It is impossible to separate works from faith as it is to separate burning and shining from fire. You can't separate the two. If you have faith, you have to have action. It requires you to do action because of love. When I accepted Jesus Christ that night as my Savior, something changed. I couldn't explain it. But something changed. I had a desire no longer to please myself, but I had a desire to please God. And it upset my whole family. My dad, when I got out of the Navy, expected me to come back to Alabama and be an electrician. That's what he was hoping for. I called him on the phone after I got saved and I was telling him that I got saved, which he didn't understand. I didn't even know how to explain it, but I knew something had happened. And I said, "Dad, I feel like God has something for me to do." And I told him, I said, "I believe that God wants me to be a pastor." And he said to me, he said, "Son, you can't raise a family being a pastor." You know, I wasn't married then. And But you know what? I served a God who could provide for me. Amen. It wasn't based on something that I could do. Amen. Being connected demonstrates our faith in action. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Faith has three aspects. The mind, it changes the way we think. Emotions, how we feel about serving God, how we feel about others. And will. We surrender, as the Scriptures tells us that Jesus said, if you're going to be my follower, you got to do what? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Amen? Verse 18. And without faith, or I'm sorry. Verse 18, there's been a lot of debate on it, people that it contradicts Romans 8:12 and preaches justification, which preaches justification by works. A better way to look at the good works will never earn a person salvation. So to answer the question, can their works save them? No. And true faith is always produces good works, because true faith motivates a person to please God. Galatians 5:6 says this: For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. You see, the moment by faith we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, guess what happens to our heart? God, Jesus, does a circumcision of our heart. It changes who we are. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we live. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the theme of this church, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Any man be in Christ, no matter who you are. Look at Apostle Paul, who was Saul before he became Paul. He was going around killing Christians, trying to put them in jail. But he had a circumcised heart because he had an encounter with God. And so what happened because of that? Because he had faith in Jesus, he had that encounter, it changed directions in his life. And he went around preaching the gospel to Gentiles, people that as a Pharisee he despised. But now he had a love for them. His faith demonstrated action. True faith motivates a person to please God. Charles Spurgeon says this: The child of God works not for life, but from life. He does not work to be saved. He works because he is saved. Saved means delivered from yourself. You know, when I got saved, I didn't want to do any. There were lots of things I wanted to do. But the first thing, and nobody told me this, the first thing that I did was I knew that I could not go back to where I was living. I could not go back to the way that I was living. So what did I do? I went back to the ship. The next day I got up, went to work, and when we got off work, I went and moved out of my apartment because I knew that was not where God wanted me. Okay? That's not what He had for me. But I knew this. I knew whatever it was that God had for me, I wanted it more than anything. So I pursued Him. I pursued Him. I was taught how to memorize Scripture. I was taught how to have a day of devotion. How to talk with God. So I learned how to put my faith in action. Was it always easy? No. Was it put in circumstances where it just was totally out of character for me? Yes. But you know what? God spoke through me and God used me. In those days, you could go on the base. I was in the Navy, so I had all the required credentials to go on the base, anywhere on the base. But I would go in the laundromat with an older man who was a missionary to the military. We would go into the laundromat and we'd pass out tracts and talk to people about Jesus. But before we would go, we would pray that God would lead us to the people He wanted us to talk to. And I know you've heard me tell this story, especially if you've been on the Wednesday night Bible studies, but one day, the missionary couldn't go for whatever reason, I don't remember, but I went by myself, okay, and I walked in the laundromat, and there was only one person, and, you know, I had prayed before I went, and so there was only one person in the laundromat. Now, that one person was this big, tall, I mean, I looked up to him, big, tall Marine. I mean, he could have crushed me with just his one hand, you know. But he's sitting there and he's reading a book, and I'm like, Lord, can I talk to somebody else? And the Holy Spirit said, you talk to him. And I would walk around and I'd think about walking out of the door and all, but Holy Spirit kept saying, go back to him. So I pulled the tract out of my pocket and I walked up to him and I gave the tract to him and he started reading. What I did not know was the book that he was reading was about Armageddon. Okay? And he was petrified. He was scared to death of reading this book. It had really shook him up. And so it's kind of like the Ethiopian eunuch who had questions and Philip came alongside the chariot, remember? He had questions. And so he asked those questions and I tried to answer them as best I could, as best I knew how. But you know what? God had prepared his heart, not me. The words that I spoke to him was God's word. Because it was something I had memorized. But see, God had prepared his heart to receive the words that I was saying from God's word. So it was like giving candy to a baby. He was ready. You know? He was ready. Was it anything I did? Yes. I took that faith and I put it in action. The light came on. It illuminated. I didn't want to go there, but it illuminated the light for me. Amen. Now, think about this. Demons are not atheists. In verse 19, it says that they believe God and shudder. That they believe God and shudder. And the word shudder means standing of the hair on end with fear. Most of us grew up in the 50s and 60s, you know. We were little kids then. But every Saturday morning, you looked forward to Saturday morning because there were cartoons. And you could sit and watch cartoons all morning, right? And so remembering those cartoons, I want you to picture this. Remembering the cartoons when there was You know, any time there was anything associated with electricity, you know, the kid or whoever it was, cartoon character, stuck his finger in a socket and got electrocuted, his hair stood up on end. Why? He got electrocuted, right? So, this word shudder means exactly that. His hair stood up on, a demon's hair stands up on end when they hear the name of God. Why? Because they know their demise. They know the end is near, and that's what demons are. They are falling angels. See, they can't move. They can't put faith in action. But it says that they believe in God. Also, they believe in one God. Meaning, they believe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They believe in those things. But it doesn't produce anything. So, my question is to you, in conclusion, is this. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 13, I believe it's verse 5. It says to examine yourselves to see if you're still in the faith. Paul's talking to the Corinthian church there. But guys, my challenge is this. Is your faith dead or alive? And if you say it's alive, what is it producing? What are you doing? That faith changed your life. If somebody came and gave you, what is that famous car? The famed car that costs almost $200,000? Ferrari? Somebody gave you the keys to a Ferrari, what would you do? Would you say, yeah, I got a pretty Ferrari, I got the keys in my hand, what are you going to do with it? You're going to just set it in your driveway? No. What are you going to do? You're going to drive. You're going to take that car, you're going to start it up and hear that engine roar. Man, feel that power! And you're going to put the gears, put it in gear, and you're going to take off and you're going to show it to your friends. Because somebody gave you a wonderful gift. Faith produces action. See, God is working all around us. And that faith that we have in Him allows us to put it in action, to join Him in His work. So, what is your faith? Is it dead? Is it just something that is solid, a substance? Or is it alive? Or is it alive? Think about it. God has given us Word so that we can learn from His Word to put our faith in action. Because we live in a world that needs to hear that God loves them. They need to hear that there is a real love. Not a fake love. Not a love that's based on a condition. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this Word. Thank You that Your love demonstrated, You showed it to us, Lord. Even though we were Your worst enemies, Lord, You still reached out and showed us Your love. And Father, I don't want to leave here this morning. Lord, this is a good Word. It's from Your Word. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who hasn't put their faith in You, they believe in You, but they haven't put their faith in You. They haven't surrendered their faith to You. Father, I want to give them that chance right now. with your heads bowed, if you want to do that, just look up at me so I know. If you want to give your faith, put your faith in action and surrender to Him, just let me know. Let me know. And maybe you're here and you're saying, Ken, I believe in God. I have faith in God. But I haven't learned how to put that faith in action yet. Could you just look up at me as we pray? Because see, we want to connect with the source. The source is the Holy Spirit. And if you believed in Jesus Christ, then you connected with the Holy Spirit. Now you have to tap into that power. And so, Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, help us, teach us, give us wisdom in how to put our faith in action. Lord, we are reaching a community. We are trying to reach a community. Lord, we believe that you've led us to these communities, firefighters, the police department, the elementary school. Lord, let our light shine there, Lord. It's not our light, it's your light. That has the power to change lives, Lord. We don't. And so, Lord, we commit it to you. In the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. Amen.